Well, T-Bone Days in Ottoman this weekend, we wanted to visit a little bit about Albert the Bull, because Albert is now 50 years old. It's a lot of time to be standing down there on the entrance to the community of Ottoman. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning with one of the fellows who was instrumental in getting that project going some years ago. Dwayne Schmidt joins us. Dwayne was with the Ottoman JCs at the time and a businessman here in the Ottoman area and had an opportunity to be a part of that project. Dwayne, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Talk a little bit about the early discussions of trying to come up with a project like that. That's a pretty big project.
Well, it was. Really, we had the big thing, I think, came from Don Olson. He was the one that originally had the idea for this, brought it to a JC meeting, and after much discussion and finally decided that we would give it a try, and we just kind of went ahead from there, I guess.
How much discussion did it take before other people stopped scratching their heads thinking this was a crazy idea?
Well, that went on for a while. but we had some backing, too. It wasn't strictly all... Everybody didn't think we was crazy, so...
Well, Albert the Bull is a big, big part of Ottoman's landscape, and it has been for a long time now. But, you know, in the early days, how in the world do you go about putting something like that together? And when you stop and think about it, most folks would say the first thing is money. You've got to come up with the funds to be able to do this with so many supplies needed for such a big, big structure. But a decision was made early on that you weren't going to solicit around town for donations. You were going to work to make sure it wasn't a burden on the community to get this started. How'd that work?
Well, pretty well, really. We did have some local donations. There was people that decided here regardless. They were not solicited, but they were given to us. And the many, many of the people in town, why, backed this 100%. And we had some people that were against it, naturally. There is, I guess, everything. So, but we received a lot from some bigger companies, and I know the Hereford Association was one of them. And so it, all in all, I just kind of slowly went together.
Well, a price tag of about $30,000 back in the early 60s. I don't even want to begin to guess what that price tag would be today if you had to go ahead and kind of map that out as to what it would cost to do something like that now. But how big a group was the JCs back then?
Well, I don't remember the exact number. There was only five of us that was to the meeting where we decided to go ahead with it. I know that. Mm-hmm. But I suppose there was probably, I don't know just what the heck there was, but probably a dozen or so, maybe more than that. But after this once got started, why, then all at once, why, the membership started going up, and we did have quite a group of JCs, I'll tell you.
Well, I saw some documents that showed that they anticipated the number to be around 108 people belonging to the JCs at that time once things really got rolling. So, oh yeah, I'd say the group grew pretty well after that. Of course, when you have such a big, ambitious project, it takes a lot of people. How long did the planning stages take for this? You know, there got to be a lot of big decisions made.
Well, I don't know. There was a lot of things that was worked on, I know, for at least a year or so before we ever got anything started, and then from there on in, why, it was just kind of piecemeal and hit one end of it and the other. And we did have some engineering help. We had some engineering help out of Pittsburgh, Des Moines Steel. They had their engineers here. They at that time worked closely with Emmert Manufacturing Company, and we had a number of meetings with them in order to try to set things up, like the footings and what would go underneath it and what was required and reinforcing and this sort of thing. So,
yeah, absolutely. How much work, how much labor was put in by volunteers locally? I know you involved a lot of people professionally to work on this project, but did you have a lot of JCs and maybe other community volunteers that stepped up to kind of help with some of the manpower?
Oh, definitely. There was, I know that on the plastering, why, our total crew from Smith Masonry at that time, why, they volunteered their time, and they worked both down there, both Saturday and Sunday, putting on this coat of plastering. And there was so many others. Everybody from where we needed cranes and what we needed, and Emmert Manufacturing was involved in this thing, and there was just all kinds of good help as far as that goes. That was, people really got involved into that.
Well, as we all know now, it looks like a big Hereford down there. But how long did it take to come to that decision? Because there are all kinds of varieties of bulls out there to choose from.
Well, Hereford was the most colorful, and there was a lot of Hereford cattle in this part area at that time. And we also talked with the Hereford Association, and they decided to give us help, and they provided us with a model of a Hereford bull. So this is really what he was scaled off of, and just worked from there, I guess.
Yeah, it's well, as we say, it's quite a project to sit back and try to imagine that piece of land housing something like that. But the project, it just took a long time, a lot of volunteers, and step by step. And was there ever a time when the project was going on that you stood back and looked at this thinking, I don't know if this was a real good idea or not, or maybe how long's, you know, we're not sure how long this is going to take?
No, we were young and foolish, and we just decided we were going to get it somehow or other, and she just proceeded from there, I think.
You never thought maybe you bit off more than you could chew?
Not really. We probably wouldn't have admitted it at that time in any event. So.
Well, you know, T-bone days was such a big part of the landscape in Audubon, still is today. It was a big part of the landscape at that time, and I suppose, you know, you're looking for something as a hook for Audubon, you know, something that folks could identify with and what have you. T-bone days was kind of a natural, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And basically, you know, it was put up as a tourist attraction as well. Something in order to, that was why the location was where it was at, so it could be seen from the highway, and people would, you know, hopefully pull off the road and take pictures and stop and one thing and another. And my understanding is the figures they have down there is there's probably 20,000 people that stop there a year.
So. Still, after 50 years. Isn't that crazy? Did you think at the time you were building this that 50 years from now we'd still be talking about it? Did you build it to be there for the long haul?
Well, we figured, hoping it'd be there for the long haul as far as 50 years from then. Why, you know, who at that age thinks about 50 years from then? I doubt that. So.
Well, obviously a lot of people take pride in this, Duane, because when you take a look at that structure today, you wouldn't have any idea that it's 50 years old. It looks great. It's been kept up very well over the years. There are a lot of people that take a lot of care to make sure that it looks just as good now as it did the day that it was first unveiled to the folks in Audubon. What was that like at the time when you finally got the project done and were ready to have some sort of a dedication or a ribbon-cutting type ceremony?
Well, I think everybody was very proud as far as that goes. It was a big celebration, as I remember. Why, I think we had some dignitaries here in order to, I believe the governor was here, if I'm not mistaken. And no, it was all in all, I think it was a lot of pride.
You have a lot of people wandering by for all those many months, checking out the progress day after day?
Oh, yes, definitely. No doubt about that.
A lot of looky-loos got to come and see how things are going on as the project moves along. It's a tough thing to imagine for a lot of folks to take on a project quite like that, but thank goodness some young JCs decided to do that years ago. Thanks so much for all the work that you have put forth on that to help work on that, get that through. And you know, if it wasn't for that, what would Audubon look like today?
Well, it would definitely be different. It would have a different image, that's for certain.
Yeah, no doubt. Very good. Well, Duane, again, thanks so much for your time and sharing some memories with us, and I hope you're still proud of all the good hard work.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming.